Hey guys, I don't know if you know this, but I love biohacking. I love testing out new foods, new supplements to feel my best, look my best, perform my best. That's why I'm so excited that we partnered up with Neurohacker. They're sponsoring today's podcast. So this is something new, Senolytics. These are cutting edge ingredients that are making waves in the world of healthy aging. If you're looking to optimize your energy, feel your best no matter what your age, you definitely have to start researching this. This is why I'm super excited to be talking about Qualia Senolytics. See, as we get older, these things called senescent cells build up. They're basically old, worn out cells that hang around and mess things up. They cause aches, slow recovery, a general blah feeling. Think of them as zombie cells. Qualia Senolytic gives your body a kickstart to clear those out. Think of it like a deep cleaning for your body on the cellular level, making way for your good cells to thrive. Honestly, before I tried this, I was a bit skeptical, but guys, the difference blew me away. Within a few months, energy levels are through the roof. I felt sharper. My workouts felt better. This middle-aged sluggishness, it's gone. And you can take Qualia, this middle-aged sluggishness, mostly gone. So if you're ready to fight those aging effects at the source, head over to neurohacker.com/successpod. That's neurohacker.com/successpod for up to $100 off, and use the code successpod for an extra 15% off your order. And just a quick disclaimer, these statements have not been evaluated by the Food or Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. And this review represents my personal experience and opinions and is not a guarantee, promise, or reflection of anyone else's results. I was given free product in exchange for this endorsement. I just want to take a second and thank Policy Genius. They're supporting today's episode of Success Story. I know we all have kids. We all have families we want to take care of. And I personally checked something off major on my to-do list, life insurance. It's a tough topic. It's really hard to think about, but it's so important. And the hard part was sorting through all the options. Luckily, I found Policy Genius. Policy Genius is an online insurance marketplace that makes getting life insurance surprisingly easy. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Now, knowing my family's protected brings me incredible peace of mind. Don't put off this important decision. Check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Welcome to Success Story, the most useful podcast in the world. I'm your host, Scott D. Clary. The Success Story podcast is part of the HubSpot Podcast Network. The HubSpot Podcast Network is the audio destination for business professionals who seek the best education and inspiration on how to start and grow a business. HubSpot Podcast Network hosts act as on-demand mentors through practical tips and inspirational stories. Listen, learn, and grow with the HubSpot Podcast Network at hubspot.com/podcast network. Today, my guest is Aurelien Amaké. Aurelien Amaké is the founder of System.io, a tool that helps entrepreneurs to launch their online business. System.io has over 6,000 users and collectively has helped online business owners generate over $11 million in revenue. Aurelien started making money online when he first started running his own blog. He then began teaching online courses to his audience, which generated roughly $500,000. Not bad. As he launched more courses, he realized that he was making less and less money as time went on. The market was more saturated. So he pivoted and actually, using some of the lessons that he was teaching, got into software, went through a lot of trials, tribulations. He bootstrapped, he struggled, but eventually got System.io to over $200,000 a month in revenue, entirely funded by himself. So he has gone through every iteration of making money online and eventually ended up being a SaaS founder. So this is what we spoke about, how he built System.io from 0 to 8,000 customers, the growth strategy that he used without any funding, how he obtained $4 million now in ARR, and how he's going to scale that to 6 million ARR in the next year, how he built a 100% remote company of over 60 people in 11 different countries, how he managed that, how he hired, how he onboarded, and how he was able to basically hire and manage this team originally just on his own, and also how he has built an affiliate program that has driven traffic for his SaaS product that generates over $300,000 in sales for him every single month. He's going to break down how you can build something similar for your business. So this is Aurélien Amaké, the founder of System.io.
Hi, Scott. Thank you for having me on the show. So yeah, that's right. I mean, I started just like anybody else. Like I was actually following bloggers online and I met a couple of them and they gave me some advice. And I had this blog that nobody was reading about, like personal development, you know, and I started working full time on it. I actually said no to a really good job offer in Paris at the time, and I started working full time on my blog, traveling, and I started making a bit of money. I mean, it's exactly the story that you said, you know. So I started making money with my blog. I started building a following. I know that you are big on social media, so you understand what I'm talking about. I built an email list, and then when I wanted to go to the next step, which is creating and selling a course, I surveyed my list, found out that they wanted to do the same, which is, you know, just making money blogging. So I created a course about that, and I hired a marketing consultant that knew, you know, how to launch product, because I really didn't know about that. And he helped me create the course, launch it through webinars. We made 10,000 euros, which for me was like absolutely huge. and we worked together remotely for a year. And then we did this launch that made exactly 550,000 euros in sales in 2 weeks, which is crazy. Yeah. And it's actually, we closed the launch. We were at the airport. And we took the planes. We went to Phoenix, Arizona to attend Jeff Walker's conference, you know, and I signed up for his mastermind where I stayed for 3 years. I learned a lot of things, but I never embraced the launch model, you know. And So I just left the group and I went on my own in 2015, trying to find by myself what was working. And I mean, I was able to make like 20,000 euros per month in revenue, just relying on my email list, you know, on my own courses, on my own content. But I kind of disappeared of the, you know, of the market. And I had this idea of creating software because I was following people building software and I thought it was a great business model. And I was listening to podcasts. And I was like, oh, this is a very exciting business. You know, you have recurring revenue. These companies are a lot more valuable than your company when you just sell courses, you know. So I was like, this is great. In 2015, I took the decision to do it. And I fell at the beginning in 2016 because I couldn't find the right developers. But then early 2017, I found the right team, the right developers. We started building the product. We launched in March 2018. And today, so your numbers are not totally accurate. So today...
it's old.
So we have 8,000 paying customers. Okay. We do close to 400,000 US dollars in revenue per month. And it's great.
So I guess that was my mistake. I guess I pulled this off an old site or an old interviews when I was trying to put this together.
Yeah, don't worry. I mean, the numbers are changing fast, you know. So it's totally fine.
So something that I just it's interesting to me because you know what you've always done this. You've built out your name and you've built out almost a community around whatever you're working on now, and then you commoditize the pain point that the person that you've been, you know, building this community around is feeling because, you know, you had a blog and then you realized a lot of people would need to figure out how to start a blog. And then you sold a course on it. And then now you're creating a tool like what's I say system and not like system because there's a SYSTEME.io. I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation. I just it defaults to like my French. I'm because I
No,
so it's like system.io.
it's
But
totally fine. I mean, system.io with the English spelling without the E at the end wasn't available, so I just went with the French spelling. So, and yeah, it's not perfect, but
no,
it's not
it's
really
good, but it's still
it's not really
solving the
an
problem,
issue.
right? It's another SaaS. It's to help people build their business online. So walk me through your mindset, because not everybody starts a product or tries to solve a problem with a community they've already built. Sometimes they try and they try and sell something or build a product before they even have a community. So why did you or what allowed you to realize that building this product was a good fit for the mar potentially some of the problems that you've had to solve as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So what happens is that since I've been in this game forever, when we started, it was actually so my marketing consultant, he knew how to code a little bit, so he gave me some pages, and I wasn't integrated. It was integrated with the French payment processor that was absolutely horrible. I mean, I've seen it all. When ClickFunnels launched in 2014, I tried it right away, and at that time there were some things that you couldn't translate on the payment page. So for me, it wasn't a solution. I remember using lead pages in 2013, and like on a Sunday I was working on a sales page and I was struggling, and after like half an hour I found out that I couldn't add more than like three items in a bullet list. I was like, wow, this is crazy. Like I just cannot use this tool, So I wasn't satisfied with the existing tools, and then ClickFunnels was became very popular in the French market and in the English market, of course. And I was like, yeah, this is a good product, but it's kind of expensive. So I thought that there was like my customers, I knew them because I was selling courses, I was hosting like some live seminars sometimes, stuff like that. So I knew them really well. And I mean, some of them, they were making minimum wage. I mean, when you're making 1200 euros per month, you don't want to spend like $100 per month on just your like marketing tool, right? It's like 8% of your income. So I was like, let's make a tool that's more affordable. And also at the same time, I was like, okay, like everybody says, oh, you should get the best landing page builder and the best autoresponder and the best membership site builder, And I was like, what if you could have all the main features under one roof, so you don't have to pay for X different tools, and more important, you don't have to actually set these tools together so they work together, because that's a lot of work.
And
So,
that was sort of the mindset behind building this out.
yeah, but I was like, oh, but I mean, maybe it's impossible, it's too many things. And we just started building it anyway, and I had the right team, and we were actually building the features in 2017. I started moving my own business on our own software. So first my email list, then all our landing pages, opt-in forms, then all our courses, and I was like, oh, that works, that's what I use. So we launched it. And the thing is, because we have, so our customers, they tell us, oh, this is so much easier to use, it's easier to use, it's faster, and it's a lot cheaper. And it's funny because it's so affordable. When people first hear about it, they're like, okay, it's like more affordable, so it's less good, because people think, oh, more expensive, better, and actually, when you ask our customers, they barely never say, oh, it's more affordable. They say, oh, it's easier to use, it's faster, So, yeah, I mean, I'm very happy with the outcome. It's very exciting. We're growing fast, so now it's about like how far and how fast can we go?
So this is another interesting point, because you're a non-technical founder. So that was something that's a big inhibitor for a lot of people. So pivoting from blogging, obviously you don't need to be technical for that. Selling courses, yeah, you have to have a landing page, but like you said, you can figure it out. So walk me through. You want to start a SaaS product, you don't have a coding background. What do you do? How do you find a good dev? How do you find a good engineer that you can work with that you know is going to deliver? What was your process like for
Oh, it's very easy. You fail a few times. So
that?
that's I'm telling you because like the idea I got wasn't like a revolutionary, because there were some existing tools like this already. And actually, just in the French market, I've seen like maybe, I don't know, I'd say at least half a dozen people trying to do the same and failing because software is so hard. Like I've seen people really like struggling for years, and you can tell that, they don't have the right people to build a good software, So what happened is that, I mean, it's a silly story. Like first I was like, because I had a list of about like 30,000 people, I was like, hey, I'm looking, for someone to help me develop this. And I had a customer, so a French guy living in Morocco, and he told me, look, I have a like software development company, we can do it for 7 grand. I was like, 7 grand, just take the money, and
That's cheap compared to, well, like, it's like mostly it's going to cost you a lot. It's going to cost you 40, 50,000, 100,000 for a good application.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, take 7 grand, I don't care. I'll see what it does. And it was so stupid because I actually put the finger, in a machine and I lost an arm, because so he said, yeah, it's going to take like 2 or 3 months. And after 2 or 3 months, there were basically nothing. And he was like, okay, so it's actually a lot of features. And now we need to keep working on it. So I need to pay my engineer. So I was like, okay, so I'm going to pay monthly, And these guys, they were so bad. Like they didn't even know they were bad, which is,
That's even worse.
I mean, it was so bad that actually with my wife, we flew to Morocco to meet them. And I remember we were in the meeting room and they were so good at telling me, oh, everything is going to be fine, don't worry. And at one point I was like, hey guys, I've made some research and people keep talking about this Scrum method, so I'm sure you've heard that, right? And these guys, they were like, Scrum, oh, that's interesting. And he asked his developer, could you look into it, could you Google it, I was like, oh, this is not good. So it took me some time to realize that they were bad. And the breaking point was like November 2016. I was actually in my shower and I was like, oh, I sent an email to these guys to tell them that security is super important. It's been 2 weeks. They haven't replied. What email should I write so they reply to the email that I sent them? And then I was like, that's it. If you ask yourself this question, that means that, it's stupid. Like you're not working with the right people. So I told the guy, hey, thank you, but this is not working. I'm gonna pay you till the end of the month, and we're done, And then I was desperate. I was looking for developers. Actually, I spent 2 months because I was also working with a developer from Bangladesh that was doing like some Stripe integration. And he was like, oh, I'm gonna take over the whole project, and it's gonna work. I'm gonna hire some cheap developers on Upwork, it's gonna work. And so he worked on it for 2 months. And then we plugged this solution and everything stopped working. And so it wasn't working. So then I tried a few different more. And one day I found this guy. And this guy, he was reliable. He wasn't like the other ones. He was like, oh, this is gonna take 2 hours. And 2 hours later, it was done. And yeah, that's the
And
beginning
that's
of the
something
story.
that every like you know I just wanted to bring that out, and I wasn't sure if you had a good or a bad experience, but I'm glad that you not in hindsight, obviously now you can laugh about it, but during the time it probably wasn't that funny. But I'm glad that you had a bad experience that you could talk about, because that's what a lot of people end up going through when they're trying to build out a software product and they're not a
Oh
developer
yeah.
themselves. It's
Oh
a
yeah.
minefield out there, and it's just pretty
Oh
common.
yeah.
I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, HubSpot. HubSpot is the CRM platform that is easy to implement and is even easier to get your team to adopt. And ask anybody that's implemented new technology in a company, the biggest issue is not finding it or buying it. It's getting your team and your company to actually use it and adopt it. And when it's a piece like a CRM, one of the most critical pieces of your business infrastructure and your tech stack, if people don't adopt it and use it, that means you're getting incomplete data, you're getting missing data, you're getting garbage data. It could impact quite literally everybody in your company, as well as it could negatively impact your customers and your revenue. So how does HubSpot solve for this with their CRM platform? There's two components that they focus on that allow for organizational-wide adoption. This is the contact timeline, as well as the mobile app. So the contact timeline gives a historical context for all of the data that is associated with a certain contact in the CRM. That means that anybody across the organization can see all the actions and all the interactions that have taken place against that particular contact. You can also use that timeline to make calls to these contacts, enroll them in sequences, put them into marketing or sales campaigns, schedule a meeting, open tickets. The historical timeline makes it easy to take action as well as to track the action that's been taken against all of your contacts. And it's not a pain to enter the information, which means that it doesn't take somebody a long time to put in great data, which can again positively impact your whole company. The second piece is the access from anywhere, meaning if I have a phone and I'm on the road, the world's opening up a little bit more now, people are traveling again, I can use the HubSpot app to access my CRM anywhere, on the go, on the fly, doesn't matter. So I have complete access to the CRM. I have access to my spreadsheets, my calendars, my notebooks, all of my contacts. I can send messages across my team with the HubSpot keyboard. I can access my contacts, call them through the HubSpot app. I can take quick notes. I can take contact information. I can all log it into my HubSpot app so that I can pull it up later on my desktop when I'm back at home. It's simple. It's intuitive. It's meant to make it easy, frictionless, so that your team sees the value in properly using the CRM to the fullest of its capabilities and gives them the tools and the tech to allow them to do it without spending too much time and causing them more headache. The best thing about HubSpot is that it can be set up for any size of business and it will scale with you. If you're just starting out, you can take advantage of certain features. And then as you scale your business, you'll notice that HubSpot will support almost anything you need as you grow. So if you do want to learn how to scale your business without scaling complexity, go to HubSpot.com.
Yeah, exactly. Like just last week, like I saw someone commenting on Facebook, beware of non-technical founders getting scammed by developers. And someone replied and say, that's not scamming. It's just, you know, the way the world operates. I was like, this is so true. You know, it's not that they want to scam you. It's just that they're bad developers and that's how it is. And, but you know, like, so we're a 100% remote company. Yeah. And I understood something is that you have two type of people. You have the people who find problems or excuses and the people who find solutions. And, you know, like I was trying out different developers and one guy was like, so he was a developer from Portugal. And he was like, oh, but you know, like the deployment process is complicated. I was like, yeah, I hear you. But you know what? There is this guy, he's working in the same environment and he says 2 hours and 2 hours later, it's done. So at the end of the day, I just need people who can deliver solutions and find, you know, ways and that's it, you know.
So it's okay. So now you found a great developer. This is great. This is like walking through the life cycle of a bootstrap SaaS company. So you found a great developer. You started to finish your product. How do you take it to market? And what makes you choose to not look for outside capital and just bootstrap it?
Yeah. So because I was actually selling, I mean, I had my own online business, you know, so I was making like, you know,
still courses right now.
Yeah. Selling courses. Exactly. Yeah, okay. Actually a bit of coaching as well. So I was doing about 20 to 30,000 euros per month in revenue. So I was able just to fund the whole thing. I mean, I think in 2016 we did very little profits, like 10 or 15,000 euros, you know. And I remember I was having lunch with my wife once. I was like, you know, that's it sucks, but you know, we have to keep trying. And in 2017, because we built a team to three developers, I actually made a loss of about like 10 grand, so it wasn't like, I mean, that's what it
You're paying
is,
them full
but
time. They're full-time developers now,
oh
but so you're
yeah, of
making good money,
course.
but they're costing a lot.
Yeah, I was able to pay myself a salary, I wasn't like getting in debt or whatever, but that's what it is. So we launched in March of 2018. So I launched on my list, and I just promoted the software for 2 weeks. I mean, I'm an email marketing guy. I've been living
Yeah.
off email marketing since 2010. So, I just promoted. I made an offer to my list, and once the launch was done, we had was it like 400 or 600? I think. Maybe just 400 customers. Yeah, that's what it is, 400 customers.
Off your first launch, 400.
Yeah, exactly. 400 customers at mostly 27 euros per month. So that's like, is it like 10 grand? Yeah, pretty
Four,
much. It's 10 grand, but I mean, I was still losing money because you have to remove VAT, then, salaries, then affiliate commissions, because I had my own affiliate program that I had started in 2017 using our own tool. So I mean, yeah, it was, and then I kept, I don't know, because the offer was so good, we started getting some users, and I mean, yeah, it was increasing all the time.
So a couple really good points. So you built an incredible product. You at by but simultaneously you're also being very competitive on price. Take the market strategy was hitting your email list, and then but also the affiliate program. So these are all I'm just so these are all making sense. Walk me through the affiliate program, and how that was set up, to encourage people to, I guess, refer business.
Yeah, sure. So I love the affiliate program business model. I think it is just great. I remember back when I was selling courses, I could hear stories about people having. So people having just products, like in fitness or in another industry, so just having products and an affiliate program, and not focusing on traffic generation because it was completely relying on the affiliates. I was like, this is a great business model. I wish I could do that someday. So with our tool, we launched our own affiliate program in 2017. So I told people, I told to my list, look. I'm going to pay you 40% on all the sales you generate on our courses and on the software. And this also started attracting affiliates, little by little. I mean, it's really a combination of the product is good, the offer is good, I mean, like the price, and the affiliate commission is good. And today we're paying our affiliates close to 100,000 euros per month in affiliate commissions.
And so you set it up so that you get affiliate commissions for lifetime, or is it for a year? And it's a percentage of all the recurring monthly payments as well.
No, it's 40% as long as the customer pays. That's the thing, like it's funny when you discuss about affiliate programs with many business owners, very often it's the same story that I'm gonna try to, I'm gonna try to, I'm gonna pay you, but that's for 1 year. Or, I'm gonna try to game the system, and I'm like, this is stupid. Like, I want to, being an entrepreneur, we all know it's about building value, right? So I want to build value for my customers, for my affiliates, and for my team members, right? So, I mean, it would be a very short-term sighted to try to, flow my affiliates. Like, I want them to make as much money as possible. So they keep promoting us, they keep working hard. And I'm telling you, that's what's happening, because I can see some people who, are trying to make money online, but they don't really succeed, and then they promote our affiliate program and they start making money, and it's great.
And now you have grown the business to your updated numbers, 4 million annual recurring revenue. This year, I saw a data point here that you sent over 5 to 6 million in ARR, still bootstrapped, No plans to raise money. You're just keeping it going as is for now, correct?
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
it's a very simple playbook. I mean, we're profitable. I'm
Yeah.
already making, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm making the money I'd like to make, which is a lot more money than I need, you know, so I
Yeah.
can, we bought our dream house with my wife. So we're gonna pay off our mortgage in, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. We're investing, you know, I mean, we're doing great. And so
Yeah.
I'm reinvesting everything that comes on top of that.
Very nice. And the one other point that I thought was interesting, that you are 100% remote. And I know that a lot of companies have done this, but you went 100% remote from the start. So how do you manage? How many staff do you have now? How do you manage them? How do you be remote effectively? I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, Quantum Metric. So what Quantum Metric is going to do is it's going to allow you to develop a single source of customer-centric truth that can help you understand how to position your products, how to sell to your customers. Because anyone is a digital leader who wants to understand your customers better. It should be 100% of you. You should want to understand the customer experience when they hit your website. And then you also want to understand not just your customers, but who else in the world is having similar experiences, and how can you use that information to make informed decisions about how your business moves forward? We are gearing up for an unprecedented 2021 e-commerce season. E-commerce sales are expected to exceed 2020 benchmarks, even though COVID is lightening up. Consumer behavior has changed forever. And with Quantum Metric, you can prepare yourself to capture every single customer revenue opportunity. So their unique approach to the digital experience that the customer has while engaging with your brand helps top retailers, e-commerce outlets quickly identify and prioritize large and small revenue opportunities, and they keep customers coming back. So everything from page hits, mouse movements, scrolling, typing, out-of-the-box interactions that you couldn't even think of, various events, API calls, literally everything, they quantify that data and they present it to you so that you can use that data to make informed decisions about how customers interact with your brand online. So if you want to reduce customer friction, if you want to increase conversions, drive more revenue, optimize user experience, personalize the shopping experience for all of your customers, go visit quantummetric.com/podoffer. That's quantummetric.com/podoffer. And go see if you qualify for the 12 days of insights offer using the code SUCCESS. The 12 days of insight offer gives you 12 days of access to the Quantum Metric platform with a bespoke insight report that will help you identify where customers are struggling and engaging with your online experience and your digital product. Some restrictions apply, but for the majority of people, go to quantummetric.com/podoffer, enter the code SUCCESS, and you will be able to receive their 12 days of insights offer. Get ready to understand your customers with intimate detail that can optimize experience and revenue and give your customers an overall much more pleasant experience when they hit your site. All right, let's get back to the show.
Yeah, so I think it's one of our strength in my company. It's the ability to like hire people and train them and make them grow. So today we have 65 people on the team in about 10 different countries. So French-speaking ones, English-speaking ones, Spanish-speaking ones, because we're expanding to different markets. And I don't know, it's funny, you know, because I think that I mean it's the future, you know. You have a book by the founders of Basecamp, you know, 37 Signals. They wrote a book actually about it that's called Remote, and it's great because they explain to you what are the benefits, why it's better. And yeah, we've been doing it since day one, and it works fine. But you have to, I mean, everyone uses Time Doctor, a software to track their time, and it takes some screenshots. So I don't spend my time, you know, like stalking at their screen, obviously. But like when you have someone who's slacking, or you know, you're not really sure, you can check out what he's doing. And sometimes, unfortunately, I mean, it happened, you know, people doing like watching series or whatever, but it doesn't happen much. I mean, you spot these people very easily, right? So, I mean, I think this is the future. I mean, you don't have any expense for the office space, for, computers, whatever. I mean, this is so much better. I mean, the best benefit that people don't think about is that I don't have to go to an office, and show up and show that I'm there and leave late so that the employees, I mean, I can do whatever I want. I just take my phone, I have the Slack app. And it's crazy. Like I can go to the gym, I can go to the shopping center, whatever, and reply to my team members if I need to.
So you set it up, and are you're not personally managing the 60 people. Have you like introduced layers of virtual management, or
Yeah,
like
of
remote
course.
like managers?
Yeah, of course. We had to. I mean, so the way it works. So me, I'm in the company, I'm like the CEO, the marketing director or manager, I don't know how I should call it. And I'm also the product manager. I'm the one supervising the product, making sure it's great and taking decisions and discussing with the customers and developers and team members and stuff. So I mean, the customer support, we have a manager. We have like 15 people in total. In our customer support, we answer our customers 7 days a week, usually under 2 hours. So our customers love our customer support, because it's very, very effective. So I have someone managing that. Then the developers, it's mostly our lead developer, which is our first developer. I mean, I have a lot of different small teams, and I manage them. I mean, I have one assistant that supervises different teams. We have a lot of different teams. I mean,
So
obviously,
you set this up. This entire corporate structure has been set up remote, and that's how it's managed now. Very impressive. I think that you're right. It is 100% the future of how organizations can work, and it saves you a
and
ton of
this is
money
very
as well.
effective. Like I remember I was working in an office, like 15 years ago, and I was like sometimes I was like on dating websites, I mean, like it's not because you're at the office that you're effectively working, so yeah.
No, that's true. It's true. And question for you, and also some advice for people that are looking to start their own thing. So, like you said, you started a blog, you went to courses, you went to software, you turned down a job. If you were going to do it again, would you do it the same way? Would you go all in, or would you do it maybe less risky? What's your take on that for somebody wanting to start?
No, I mean, no, I would do the same, obviously. There is this question in podcast, like if you could talk to your 20-year-old
That's my
self.
other question I ask at the
Yeah, and
end.
I'm like, what could I say? Maybe I would tell me, look, buddy, don't stress out. It's gonna be all right. Enjoy the ride because I was. Yeah, I mean, there were some tough years. I'm not gonna lie. It's easy afterwards to say, oh, everything is great. No, it wasn't. Like I was actually feeling like a failure after I left Jeff Walker's mastermind group because I had my buddies making million-euro launches, and I was just on my own making actually a good income, and I was feeling even worse because I was like, dude, you're living in Portugal, the minimum salary is 600 euros per month, and you're making 20,000 euros, and you feel like S, and I read the book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F.
It's a
And
good
the
book.
main idea of this book is it's okay not to feel okay. And I was like, oh, that helps, so yeah.
It is true, and it's also, for people that are high performing individuals, people that always are entrepreneurial mindset, and they want to do things and they want to build things. You measure yourself at a different level, which for a lot of people doesn't, it may not make sense. Like, it may sound pretentious, but you do measure yourself at a different level, and you compete and you're pushing
Of
yourself, and
course.
you're like, if I make 20K this month, the average person's like, holy shit, you made 20K in 1 month. But you're like, well, I made 25K last month, so I failed this month. And
Yeah,
it's,
absolutely.
I think that even adopting that mindset at a smaller level, like if you constantly strive to push yourself to have wins month over month, that's a positive thing, because the end result of having that mindset will be you in a better spot. Always. Even if it's not, if you're in a job and you want to make $100 on the internet, if you want to make $100 yourself and you do that, make 150 next month, make 200 next month. And then that's what gets you to the, because that's probably how your blog started. I can't imagine, I'm assuming it was just AdSense. I don't know how you made money in your blog, if you had affiliate commissions or whatnot, but it wasn't making a lot of money when it first started. But that's where
Exactly.
people usually
Absolutely.
start.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was so happy. The first month I made 82 euros. And I was
Yeah.
so happy because I was like, oh, if I went from 0 to 82 euros, maybe next month, I'm going to make over 100 euros. And after 6 months, I made 1,000 euros. So, but what happens is that, that once you reach like, they say 5,000 euros in revenue per month, like your level of happiness doesn't increase that
Yeah.
much. So, now, I'm getting to a different different field. I'm like, okay, now I've kind of reached my goals in terms of revenue
Yeah.
and business. What do I want to do? So, I try because it's not all about like, so first I love what I do. People tell me, oh, do you have an exit plan? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, yeah. Do you want to
Gonna
sell your company?
IPO,
I'm like,
gonna
what?
sell, yeah.
I'm
Yeah.
like, why would I sell my company? Like, what am I gonna do with the money? Am I gonna invest, in the stocks and make 7% per year, like in the long run with high volatility when I can make, I don't know, 20 to 60% year-over-year return with my own business? It just doesn't make
Yeah.
sense. And I love what I do. Like, I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh, I want to get a coffee and get started. I just love it. And my exit plan is that as long as I add value, as long as I feel that I'm making a difference and I'm having fun, then I'm gonna keep going, I mean, why would I do anything different?
I love that. And I think you, I think you, I think the biggest lesson here is, you don't have to end up where you're at. Or you don't have to start your entrepreneurial life, your entrepreneurial venture, your side hustle. It doesn't have to go right into building a multi-million dollar software company.
Yeah, of
I love
course.
the steps that you took are so smart. I think that's the way to do it,
Thank
because
you.
everybody jumps into the big thing, right? Everybody feels like they have to create the next Facebook, but it doesn't really have to be that complicated to start your own business. Like, people overcomplicate the shit out of it. Like, it doesn't have to be that time consuming, or even, well, maybe time consuming, but not that complicated.
No, I would rather go with something a lot more simple, like for example, so I mean, I launched a passive, I mean, a side business that was like a blog about how to learn English, where I was
Yeah.
sharing how I learned English by myself, because at school I was like terrible. And
Yeah.
so that was like 2012, and I had a friend who was like super smart guy. Lebanese guy living in Paris, with a good job, like speaking different languages, and he wanted to launch a startup in like how to learn languages. I was like, hey, I know I'm ranking with my blog on how to learn English easily in the French market. I know I can build a blog around it and make money. Do you want to join me? And it was like, no, I'm gonna keep doing my thing. And I was like, that was super ambitious project with, all around the world in every possible language with funding and stuff. So he quit his job, made like three different business plans, made a mock-up of a website, made absolutely zero sale, and went back to the corporate world. While I launched a blog that, I took to, it wasn't much, it was doing like over 3,000 euros per month, but like passive revenue. And I mean, that's what you say, like you shouldn't try maybe to launch the next Facebook, just do something more simple, and
Yeah.
that's less risky because I knew that it would work because I was already getting traffic and I knew that there was a market, obviously, with people buying courses and, books about learning English. So I was like, I know it's gonna work. And it worked. And the funny story, I had a team of three virtual assistants. One was working on this project and he left. And later he built a blog about the same idea. And today he's making like 50,000 euros in revenue per month. So,
Doesn't take,
and
it doesn't
I,
have to be, yeah, it's just interesting how people view entrepreneurship
exactly.
versus what it
Yeah,
can
and
actually be.
it's organic traffic. It's mostly profits, you know. And this guy studied, he was my virtual assistant, and yeah, and I sold my blog for €12,000 last year because I was like, oh, I'm not doing anything with this, you know. I want to focus on my main business, so I just sold it.
Very smart. All right. I want to do a few rapid fire career
Yeah.
questions from you. Was there
Hit
anything
me.
else that yeah, no, it was very good. This is like this is the perfect interview, perfect discussion on if you want to start something. This is, in my opinion, an easy way to do it. And I have a lot of entrepreneurs on here that build very technical, complicated things. This is something that people can learn from, and I hopefully take inspiration from, to just do something simple and do something to start, and to honestly future-proof themselves from their job, so that if they do get laid off or let go or furloughed, they have something that's making
Yeah,
$1,000, $2,000
absolutely.
passive. And I think that's amazing. And not enough people just fo not enough people show the progression of what entrepreneurship can be and how it can come in different flavors and different forms. And I think you've done all that. And now you actually are a SaaS, a software CEO. So
Yeah.
That can be the end result as well. Okay, so a couple career questions. You already answered one of them. The what would you tell your 20-year-old self? Was there any other advice that you would tell maybe just a younger entrepreneur? If it's not yourself, somebody else.
Just to, you know, like favor execution, like just do it, you know, do whatever, fail fast, learn fast, and you know, that's how it works.
What was the biggest challenge you've ever faced in building a business, and how'd you overcome it?
Oh wow, that was definitely yeah, building the product, you know, getting the product built, finding the right developers. And this is so hard, and I'm like, oh, if I had not found these guys, you know, where would I be today? And it's crazy, like we work together, like we just love working together. Like these guys, they're having fun, you know, they love their job. I went, we met already a few times, you know, and it's great, yeah.
Good. So that finding the right people is, that's the sort of the moral of that story, especially if you're not a technical person.
Yeah, absolutely, and it is very hard. Honestly.
Yeah. One person that had a major impact on your life, what did they teach you? And also, who is that person?
Yeah,
Pick
I'm a
anybody.
big
It could
fan.
be a family member, it could be a mentor, anybody.
No, I mean, I learned a lot with the marketing consultant that I hired, Sebastian. So he's like Sebastian. So that's Sebastian, the French marketer. That's like his nickname in the English market. He's still in the Jeff Walker's mastermind group. He's a great guy. I really love this guy. I learned a lot with him. So he taught me copywriting, how to, you know, launch products. And we have a different view. But yeah, I learned a lot working with him the first year when we were working on, you know, this launch that worked great because mostly because of his copywriting and his work, you know.
Very good. And how important copywriting is at the whole other conversation. What is one source or book or podcast that you recommend people go and check out?
I mean, it really depends on, you know, where you're at. I mean, there is of course, like your podcast, you know, with a lot of interviews of successful entrepreneurs, books, you have so many. I mean, I don't read a ton of books, like 5 or 6 per year, you know. I don't think it's that much, but,
do you have any ones in particular that you've liked that people would go
yeah,
read?
I mean, I'm a big fan of Jeff Bezos, you know, like, I think this guy is such like the Uber entrepreneur, you know, what he did, what he proved. So I read The Everything Store. It was great. I think The Everything Store, it's really a great book. When you want to learn about Amazon, about the success story, I just finished reading Working Backwards by two former Amazon executives. And I was huge. I'm having like my top team members reading it because it's going to help us a lot structure and the company, you know. And yeah, I mean, these are great
Okay,
books.
those are two good ones. And then one question I like to ask everybody, what does success mean to you?
Yeah, it's a great question because, you know, as I said, like now I'm getting like some rich people's problems, you know. So I'm like, hey, you can make a ton of money and still feel like S so some days, you know. And it's fine. So I think that success, you know, it's of course it's reaching your goals, you know. I love what I do. I want to keep doing it, but then it's about like you know, making sure that you're not having some blind spots and not taking care of important things in your life, like your family, your friends. So, you know, I'm trying to, you know, spend time on this, make sure everyone is happy, and you know, I'm doing a good job at not only my business.
Good.
So yeah.
Very good. And then where do people connect with you? Go check out you on social, your website, your newsletter, all of that.
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn, Aurelien Hammaker. You can go sign up for System.io. So it's Systeme.io. We have a free plan actually. It's pretty amazing. We launched it 2 months ago. So actually it's funny because we have over 100,000 free users. You know, it's a lot. And then there is the Facebook group where I'm very active. Because I don't know, I just like it. You know, I'm getting some feedback. You know, I'm replying to the questions. So it's like system.io, launch your online business, something like that. It's pretty easy to find.
Very good. Very I know a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this show, and NetSuite has been a huge supporter for entrepreneurs, for business owners, because there's one thing that we all know. Business is about making money, and it's about your bottom line. And the less you spend on the nuts and bolts of running your business, the more profits you keep. But these days, everything is costing more: supplies, people, shipping. It squeezes your margins, and I've been there, juggling multiple systems for finance, inventory, you name it, each with its own costs and its own set of headaches. That's why I made the switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's changed our company. Think about it. NetSuite is one of the top financial systems out there. It puts your whole business on one platform: accounting, finance, the works. One data source for everyone. There's no more mismatched info. And because it's in the cloud, it slashes your IT costs. No more servers, no more updates. Just access NetSuite from anywhere. With one integrated suite, your overhead drops big time. And here's the real win: efficiency. Everything's connected in NetSuite. Costs are ridiculous lately. Find a proven way to reduce your expenses and get better performance out of your team. It's a no-brainer, and that's what NetSuite offers. Over 37,000 companies have figured this out already. You have to join them. Right now, through to April 15th, NetSuite's got an incredible, flexible financing plan. Check it out and see the savings yourself at netsuite.com/ScottClary. That's netsuite.com/ScottClary. Hiring as a small business owner is a major pain. That's why LinkedIn is supporting today's episode. You need people with the right skills and experience, but finding them can take forever. It is incredibly frustrating to keep seeing candidates who just aren't a good fit, and that's why LinkedIn Jobs has been a game changer. Let me tell you a little story. We needed to hire a graphic designer, somebody with specific tech and software knowledge and the ability to truly understand our brand. And I started with all the usual job boards, and it's the same old story. Tons of irrelevant applications. No one's really matching my needs. I tried LinkedIn Jobs, and the quality of candidates was just on another level. People with impressive portfolios, relevant expertise. I finally felt like I was interviewing the right people. That's truly the power of LinkedIn's massive professional network. You're tapping into this huge pool of talent you simply wouldn't find on other sites. It's about finding those niche candidates you actually need. And with the right people in front of you, hiring becomes a breeze. Did you know that 86% of small businesses find a qualified candidate on LinkedIn Jobs within 24 hours? That is how well their system works. Honestly, do yourself a favor and try LinkedIn Jobs next time you're hiring. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/excellence. That's linkedin.com/excellence. Terms and conditions apply, but it's definitely worth trying out. I don't know about you, but the idea of being harassed, scammed, or even worse, all because somebody found my personal information online, that's terrifying. Our political opinions, our addresses, even stuff about our families, it's out there for anyone to grab. And did you know that data brokers are allowed to sell information on over 98% of Americans? It's scary stuff. That's why I've partnered with Delete Me. I personally use Delete Me. They're a big friend of the podcast because I put myself out there online. So safety is a huge concern. It's really scary how easy it is to find someone's details and information, but Delete Me creates a layer of protection that we all need. You tell Delete Me what you want gone, and they make it disappear from those sketchy data broker sites. And Delete Me doesn't stop. They constantly monitor the web to keep your information off those lists. It's like having a privacy watchdog that never sleeps. You need to take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. They're giving a special discount for all Success Story podcast listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/success and use promo code success at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/success and enter code success at checkout. joindeleteme.com/success. Hey everyone, I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond Bourbon. Now, I don't have a lot of liquor sponsors on this show. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is actually one of my favorites. I've drank it for a few years now, and this is why we actually decided to work together. Heaven Hill Distillery, family-owned since 1935, is a great entrepreneur story too. So there's five brothers. They filled their first whiskey barrels back in 1935, and their legacy still lives on today. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is aged over 7 years. That's three more than required by the Bottled and Bond Act of 1897. This means the best quality, the best purity, and the best consistency. This is not just average bourbon. It's the winner of the double gold medals at multiple 2023 World Spirits competitions, and they've won the very prestigious Triple Still Award. It's a very big deal in the liquor and bourbon world. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond boasts an exceptionally smooth oak flavor, while its aroma offers a sweet blend of caramel and smooth vanilla. If you love bourbon, you need to try Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond. Available nationally, look for a bottle at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Think back to your last few days in the office. Did any of them leave you feeling really accomplished? Not the kind of day where you're running around like crazy, but where you've made real progress on something that matters. Because being busy doesn't always mean being productive. And I bet you we've all been there. And maybe it's time to rethink what it means to get things done. Today's episode is sponsored by Belay, and what they help you do is, instead of getting sucked into emails and to-do lists, they help you delegate tasks and focus on big goals. They can connect you with top-notch US-based talent who are ready to take on those time-consuming tasks that bog you down. Let's be real, there are way more important things you could be doing than bookkeeping or wrangling a packed inbox. They have virtual assistants to handle all of those pesky administrative tasks, or accounting professionals to take care of all your financials. But here's the best part. You don't have to waste weeks searching for the right person. Belay's personalized matching service works quickly, sometimes matching you with the right talent to take stuff off your plate in under a week. Are you ready to try a different way of working? Check out Belay's list of the top 25 things you can delegate to a virtual assistant. It might just change your business and your life. Text SUCCESS, that's SUCCESS, to 55123 to get the list and to start transforming your to-do list with Belay.